Greg Farrell is the president and CEO of Farrell Wealth and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, good morning to everyone, and happy November. I hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving and did enjoy your families. Hopefully ate lots of turkey and enjoyed some good football on TV. That was a fantastic weekend. The show's Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and president of Farrell Wealth. And the show here is all about money. We talk about money on this show because it's important to us and it's important to you, and trying to help you save some money and make sure you can actually invest some money as well. So we're talking today. We usually have a guest on the show. Without a doubt, we've had a guest the last couple weeks. It's been fantastic. It's been very, very enjoyable having some good people on. We talked to Otso Sikorski, who is the campus president of Ivy Tech here locally, and talked about community colleges and how important that they are, and what they contribute to the community. And that was fantastic. We've had some really solid guests recently, but today, no guests. Just wanted to be able to have a chance to talk about the market. I feel it's like it's really important that we review some of the things that are going on, that have been going on in the past here, and then also moving forward with where to go in 2017. We're always looking for the next trend and trying to figure out where to go. So we're going to talk about the market today and kind of review where we've been and where we're going, to just sort of give you some ideas as to what's going on out there. Then we're going to talk about some of the trends that now with the president-elect Trump and how things might change as to where we might be looking. So give you some good ideas as to where you might want to be looking. We're going to talk then about the holiday shopping preview and what we're looking forward to coming up here as far as earnings and expectations of the holiday preview. We're going to talk about the bond market and what has happened recently with the 10-year going up over 0.5%, and what that means for bond owners and what has changed from a year ago. It's having a little bit of deja vu from last time or this time last year. And want to talk about that. And then I've got a whole preview on a number of questions that will probably end up with the show. We try to segment out the show about every 15 minutes in a different segment for our podcasters out there that love to be able to have to fast forward and move things ahead of time. So that means that being said, we're on iTunes. And you can find us at Money Matters with Greg on iTunes. We have a number of well over 70-some episodes now up and running on that on iTunes. So please check that out. You can listen in your car. You can listen while you're working out. And take us along with you. So give us a show or give us a look on that as far as what you like there. And also download when you get a chance. And I hope you enjoy it. We're definitely trying to be the best we can possibly be. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter at Farrell Wealth. You can find us on Facebook. Every single episode usually is updated on Facebook. And then we tweet out. We had our intern, Pearly Provost, who was here last week, which was fantastic to have him. He was on break for holiday. And want to thank Pearly for all his hard work here and getting all the tweets out that went out and overall. And you can contact us that way as well. We'd love to hear from you. You can also contact us at the show, 219-476-9000, if you'd like to advertise on the show or if you'd like to just be a part of it, ask some questions, feel free to call in. But that's basically the laundry list of cleaning up of things. Wanted to mention a big shout-out to the Indiana Hoosiers for a fantastic win to keep the bucket. That is a nice string that we've got going on there too. If anybody knows me as well, I'm an Ohio State fan, so that was an amazing game. And I think I had two or three heart attacks on Saturday. It was unbelievable. We had, obviously the Bears are lackluster group here in Northwestern Indiana, but we're fighting through that, and maybe we'll get a good pick out of that. But we do talk a little bit of sports here, but mainly talk money. So I just wanted to kind of update those things and basically give a shout out to those teams as the seasons wind down here in the football years. So want to talk about the market. It has been a wild ride here in the last couple weeks, an amazing movement of markets since really October 23rd is where it all really started. Most people don't realize this, but the market was down 9 days in a row going into the end of October and the beginning of November, and in anticipation of volatility and also the fact that Hillary Clinton went from an 89% chance to a 71% chance about 9 days before the election. So that uncertainty with a Trump presidency was definitely scared the markets and brought many of your account statements that I'm sure you're receiving in the mail now or have just recently received. Usually most people receive their statements between the 10th and the 15th. They see their 401k statements. They see the IRA statements or whatever it might be. And they wonder what happened. And what happened was the market just fell apart here in those 9 days. So what has happened now recently is the market's had a great rally has really come back. So what to do, where to go from here is really what I want to be able to talk about. But last week, really, we just sort of treaded water into the Thanksgiving holiday. The U.S. markets were near flat on Wednesday before the holiday. The Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500 climbed to record highs on Tuesday, and the Dow closed above 19,000 for the first time ever. The S&P overcame a 1.4% decline in the heavily weighted healthcare sector with large gains in telecom and consumer discretionary. Were both up. And in Asia, Japan was closed for the holiday, while the Shanghai in China dipped only 0.2. Elsewhere, crude oil is off down to $47 a barrel last week and is trading again lower today on a deal that's looking like OPEC has been arguing about getting some of the things nailed down and the T's crossed and the I's dotted to a new deal that has the markets betting on the fact that they will limit production. That has not happened yet, but it is probably going to happen. At least we're anticipating that something will get done along those lines. Oil has fallen off here recently, and you might see that at the pump. So a lot of times when oil trades down, it takes a number of days to then be reflected at the pump. But it's always something to be able to consider, and I hope you're able to follow along on the show to hear our conversations about oil. So you might be able to know, you know what, Greg told me to wait on filling up my gas tank today. I might want to go tomorrow, or I might want to go early and get it done based on the prices of oil, because it does really matter. Obviously, geography is different. We've had this conversation on the show about how oil is priced. If there's a refinery that's more local to you, your gas might be cheaper. But higher crude oil is obviously the main factor. So always when you want to be looking at that, might be able to save you some money at the pump as to when to go and versus the next day or not. But gold is traded off, just so you know. Gold before the election was all the way up towards $1,300 an ounce, and now has fallen off. It's $1,186 an ounce, and it's below $1,200 an ounce for the first time since February, which you're just seeing an absolute hammering of gold. And then the other thing, and we're going to talk about this coming up here in a second, in the last segment of the show, is about interest rates. Treasuries now are yielding, today was at 2.32, 2.33, but last week touched 2.4. Now that is up from 1.77 before the election. So what has happened is interest rates have risen tremendously without even a Federal Reserve rate. Now the anticipation is the Federal Reserve is going to raise another 25 basis points, which in that's investment speak for 20, basically a quarter of a percent. So that quarter of a percent is anticipated. It was as high as 50% in October. It went to 60, 61%, then 75, then 90, and now it looks like it is about 100% chance. The market is pricing that in, and it has priced it in. That is going to see a raise, and then the Federal Reserve will raise rates. That and a Trump win basically sent the debt deficit spending numbers kind of thrown out the window. So knowing that money is not going to necessarily always be so cheap, the market priced in a whole half point in the overall market. So that affected mortgage rates. That'll affect lending rates. That'll affect borrowing rates as well. So you really want to be cognizant of the fact that the treasuries have risen, and interest rates have risen along with them. So one of the things, that's kind of where we've been with the economic look for the Fed and the Fed outlook for 2017. You know, the economic recovery that began in mid-2009, it's going to pass its eighth birthday here in 2017. And, you know, as far as odds of recession based on leading economic data, they still remain really low, and the risk of recession due to a policy mistake, you know, let's say, for example, a monetary, fiscal, trade, or an immigration mistake has increased heading into 2017. You know, President-elect Trump and Congress likely going to enact a pro-growth policy in the first half of 2017, and the push is for corporate and for personal tax cuts, deregulation, increased spending on infrastructure and defense. And even though you have gains in the labor market that will likely continue to sort of moderate in 2017, job growth remains robust enough to suggest that that there might even be two federal rate hikes in next year, because inflation, even though it's been dormant due to the falling commodity prices in the recent years, it may make a comeback in 2017. You know, as above, sort of these, as the gross domestic product growth and a tightening of labor markets push up wages and ultimately inflation. You're seeing that already in a number of different commodity prices that have already been priced at near highs recently. You see things like aluminum and zinc and a number of other commodities that not necessarily everybody invests in, have risen. And so for that reason, we're going to see an inflationary type situation in the future. It's just a matter of when it comes. It will happen. Interest rates have been way too low for way too long. I've been talking about it on the show for a long time, and they've needed to be risen a number of times. They should have been risen in July. In my opinion, they could have been raised again in September. They punted on both, and now we look like we're going to raise here in December. So knowing that and looking at our research department that we have, so our broker-dealer that we work with in the wealth management firm, Farrell Wealth, is called LPL Financial. LPL Financial is the largest broker, one of the largest broker-dealers in the nation. It is an independent broker-dealer, and it has billions under management. And they are basically our watchdog, our compliance gurus, and they offer us a number of different things to our practices as advisors. There's over 12 to 13,000 advisors nationwide that LPL helps. One of the things that they have that is a huge help to us in our world is a research department that is just better than I put them against anyone, and they're by far one of the best research departments out there. You have some great people in Bert White as the chief investment officer, who's fantastic. You can find him on Twitter. I highly recommend you follow him on Twitter. He's a fantastic follow. And then you have Jeffrey Bookbinder. He's a CFA market strategist as well, and he has some fantastic information. Much of what we talk about on this show comes from LPL Research. You can follow them at LPL Research on Twitter and get many of the things that they actually put out for free, and educate yourself and really find out some great things. We use a number of different things in our investment and our research that we have. There are many opportunities that we have to see all the big houses. We get to see their research as far as JP Morgan. We talk a lot about on this show. We have Goldman Sachs, you name it. We have opportunities to be able to kind of talk to those really big brains in all those shops. So what we try to do then is bring that information that we find out from those groups and bring it to you. So LPL Research has just come out with a weekly commentary, and one of the things that they expect is a mid-single-digit return for the S&P 500 in 2017 and a continuation of the nearly eight-year-old bull market that we've had, consistent with historical mid-to-late kind of economic cycle performance. They're expecting gains to be driven by, one, U.S. economic growth partially due to fiscal stimulus. That would be, as an example of that, would be a tax cut on the corporate side, being able to pull all this money from offshore. There is so much money offshore right now that is just sitting there collecting dust. And many of these corporations would love the opportunity to be able to bring it onshore, but they won't do it at a 35% rate. So they would like to be able to do it at a lower rate, and they would be interested in that. And that would be like QE times 10. We'd have nearly $1 trillion come into the economy that would have to be spent for R&D spending, would have to be used for hiring, wages would go up. A number of things would be possible, which just aren't possible now. So that pickup in economic growth may be due to that fiscal stimulus if it happens. I mean, right now we just don't know, but that is something to think about that wasn't on the table before. Then you look to mid to high single digit earnings gains as corporate America kind of emerges from this year-long earnings recession. We've been talking about this earnings recession here on this show. It is not a economic recession. It is an earnings recession. Many of the companies that have been out there have been very lackluster earnings and have not been able to grow and have not been able to report those earnings the way that they should. So you're going to see sort of this emergence out of the year-long earnings recession coming in 2017. You're also going to see an expansion in bank lending. With banks having interest rates raised, they are able to lend money at a higher rate, and thus they're able to lend more money and would like to lend more money at a higher rate. Now, you as a consumer are going to be paying a higher rate, but there might be more opportunity for you to be able to lend. The banks are going to want to lend more, which will only increase, hopefully, business production and productivity. And then you are going to have a stable price-to-earnings ratio, really a PE of 18 or 19, where it's not necessarily cheap. It's not cheap, but it's not necessarily way expensive either. Gains are really going to be come with increased volatility as this economic cycle kind of ages. And really the biggest risk in the forecast overall is the policy mistakes and coming out of Washington that could cause a recession. Let's just see what happens here and see if Washington actually does anything and says that they're going to actually, that they promised to do. We'll see what happens. Now, our outlook for 2017 coming about here is really with equities is how to invest. And you're going to see economic accelerating economic growth. President-elect Trump has been pounding on that. That's how, one of the reasons he was ultimately says that he got into office. So you've really got to be able to think about the growth that's out there and what exactly is going to happen. This tends to favor, growth tends to favor sort of the value style investors and improve financial sector performance. financial sectors are going to improve because of interest rates, like we talked about before. Banks are now able to lend at a higher rate. So banks have, financials have already had a huge run here just recently. You're going to see a steepening in the yield curve, and you're going to see reduced regulatory burden. And these all may lead to kind of similar performance between growth and value in 2017. What is interesting now is the small caps. If you look at the small cap investments out there, you know, just recently they've been up an amazing 13 days in a row. And since the election, you know, that longest winning streak was 15 in a row back in 2003. You know, the index has made all new all-time highs 7 days in a row, and that's the longest streak since 2013. So small cap companies see this pledge of growth as a massive opportunity to be able to do some great things as we move forward. So you want to really be thinking about small caps and where the possibility of supportive policies and expanding bank credit will help those younger companies and those smaller companies overall. And some of the sectors that we're looking at that are really interesting are healthcare. You look at the industrials, you look at the metals, you also look at technology. These are all sort of changing, as well as biotech that have all sort of risen based on this recent election. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about where we go from here. We're going to talk about the outlook on fixed income. We just did the outlook on equities. We're going to talk about some of the things that are coming about in the health sector coming up, and then really this busy post-Thanksgiving week that we've got going on here recently. It's coming up this week. But want to take a quick break and give Greg Kovach a chance to have a sip of coffee. Our engineer here, he does such a great job. We are today, it is Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. And the show is all about money and your money, helping you save money. It is 103.1 FM WVLP, local Valparaiso radio. And we're glad to be here with you. And we'll be back in a bit. Thanks.
Money, 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 money. From that money machine, now you can better your manhood by it. You can get your children to try it. You can bring your enemies to their knees. With the impossible exception of the North, you get the beast. You take a strong hit from the money machine.
From that money machine.
CIO, all the king man. When I began the game, see me singing about fire and rain. Let me just say it again. I've seen fives and I've seen tens. It was a strong hit from the money machine. Sail up top.
Thank you, JT. James Taylor. With another money song we try to incorporate into the show. Thanks, Greg Kovach, for all your hard work and getting that all done. Wouldn't be able to do it without you. So good morning to everyone out there in radio land and also streaming. I forgot to mention WVLP.org is an ability to be able to stream. We also can stream from our Farrell Wealth website. You go to farrellwealth.com. And there's a ton of resources there that you can learn about different things on the investment world, but you can also stream the radio show. The radio show's Money Matters with Greg, 103.1 FM WVLP, and then you can also find us on iTunes with all the different podcasts we have up there. This show will be up as soon as we can get it through compliance and on its way. There are a number of shows up there with all the different guests we've had on recently. So really excited to be able to sort of build this show and make it better every single time. And we do, I feel like we just keep on getting better. We've got some great information. Many of these shows are very, very informational packed. So you're going to, you know, sort of sift through. I try to give you 15-minute segments. The first two segments here, we're really talking about the market. and where we're looking here for outlook of 2017, whether it be in fixed income or equities or where to go as far as some of these sectors. Then we're going to talk about the holiday shopping preview and what things look like overall. And then we're going to go into what has really changed in the bond market from a year ago. So that's our game plan in the last half hour of the show. Want to finish up what we were talking about before as far as LPL Research's report about low to single-digit returns here in the S&P for 2017. Mid-single-digit returns, S&P 500, again, as we sort of follow through this eight-year-old bull market. And then low, mid to single digit returns expected for fixed income. You know, you've got increasing growth and inflation expectations with fixed income, along with these potential Fed rate hikes. And these will all put upward pressure on rates. So that is likely to be the large offset by low negative rates overseas. So you really expect a 10-year yield to end the year between 2 and 2.5. Right now, it's at 2.32, so you know odds are it'll probably finish right in there, with a potential move as high as 2.75, if any meaningful fiscal stimulus is enacted beforehand, and certainly early in 2017. So, really, you look at the scenario based on the potential interest rate range and the duration of indexes. You know, indicates sort of this low to mid single digit returns for the aggregate, the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index. So, look, if you're looking at buying a house, this is what's important to you out there. Interest rates rise. That means that the cost of borrowing money is going to go higher. All right, so it should have been higher a while ago. We've been seeing, in my opinion, it should have been raised a while ago. We've been seeing a number of different people flipping houses. Seems like anybody with a hammer and a truck can justify flipping a home. And there are some legitimate people out there that know what they're doing and some quality craftsmen, but then there's also some other stuff that money's too cheap if everyone's able to borrow money to be able to flip a home. So we've been seeing a lot of phone calls and a lot of tendencies about what do you think about real estate? What do you think about what are you thinking about investing in real estate? What do you think about flipping a home? My uncle so-and-so, my cousin so-and-so is really good with a hammer and nails. And I feel like if I go into business with them, I can back them or whatever it might be. A lot of these different instances have happened in the last year or two. And we've been fielding these sort of phone calls. And that just makes me nervous. What that tells me is that rates are too low. So rates are going to rise. If you're in an adjustable rate mortgage with your home, you're going to see rates rise. If you're renting, you're going to see your rent rise because the landlord, if he owns under a mortgage, is his cost of borrowing is probably going to go higher depending on what they have, his or her. Their debt that they have a function with. So you want to be able to be thinking about these things because all things are rising. The cost of doing business, the cost of goods, the cost of your debt, all of these things are going to go up as interest rates rise. Now, you need to be able to do that to be able to thwart any sort of radical move in inflation. So there is a need to be able to raise these, and that's what the market's figuring out right now. But really what you want to be doing when you're looking at fixed income, and if you're on a fixed income and you're looking to invest in bonds and having some sort of yield, you really have to be talking about this range-bound interest rate situation that really intermediate-term bonds probably will offer the best value with an emphasis in this investment-grade corporates and mortgage-backed securities. Small allocations to high yield and bank loans may also give you some sort of fixed income benefit, and they may benefit from the stronger economic growth and business-friendly cycles. But typically, in history past, bonds lose money as interest rates rise. And if interest rates are rising, which they are and they're going to, you really want to be able to make sure you're careful out there, that you're figuring out what that service of any debt is going to be. So with the Dow closing at 19,000 for the first time ever last week, these milestone levels always sort of bring a good deal of media attention and excitement. But really what's worthwhile is this 1,000-point interval that it took 2 years to go from 18,000 to 19,000, it kind of hammers home how range-bound equities have been. We've been in this range for a long time. We've not been making money in the markets per se in the last year or two. Now we're up, the S&P's up a little over 6% for the year. But you know, the S&P was basically down 2%, down 1% last year. So you start looking at this range and where things are, they're not necessarily the most profitable. So you're trying to find as much yield as you can out there. Most people have gone to bonds. What I'm saying now is that's going to be even susceptible to losses. You really want to be careful. Okay. Couple things that are also going to affect the market. I want to bring up this drug trial failure to weigh on the healthcare sector today. The healthcare sector is being dragged down this morning by a failed drug trial of a major pharmaceutical company that was out there. And you know, although we continue to like the sector overall as a kind of valuation, you're going to see that the pace of innovation is really slowed, and the sector is likely to have a bumpier path in 2017. Now, a Trump presidency certainly helped the healthcare sector versus hurt it, but you want to be careful in regards to investing in the healthcare sides overall. So you just with anything, right? I mean, that's what we talk about on the show. It's all about investigation and making sure you're investing in things you know, and making sure that you're following through on your investment ideas and your plans. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, lost you there. I had to go close the door. Apologize for that, but Greg Kovach, our engineer, left the door open, so I just basically want to tease him about that later. Anyway, I just want to make sure we get you here and follow up. But anyway, we're talking about investing and making sure you're investing in your plan. We talk about a plan on this show all the time, and making sure that you have a plan and you work that plan. And that goes with investments as well as a number of other things through your life. Want to answer a question here real quick. What are the chances the Fed will raise rates by 50 basis points in December? Look, the last thing the Fed wants to do is surprise the markets. The markets have only priced in a 5% chance of 50 basis points next month, or this, you know, next month. And the market's fully priced in a 25 basis point move. The Fed has indicated that it will seek really to take a gradual path towards increasing rates. So 5% chance is the answer. But great question. And what do you think about that? Also, a great question here about master limited partnerships, MLPs. Will they face a headwind due to interest rate sensitivity? MLPs are very, they are interest rate sensitive. And although they've really sort of held up well over the last 2 weeks since the election, despite the huge move higher in the 10-year Treasury yield that I talked about, MLP yields are still, you know, they're still attractive. And if the rise in rates is gradual, as everyone expects, you really have to believe that improving fundamentals in the energy sector and prospects of deregulation will help MLPs come, you know, overcome this headwind should rates rise or continue to rise. So something to think about without a doubt. Master Limited Partnerships is the name of an MLP. So you start looking at those are many of the oil drillers out there in shale land throughout the nation. And they pay dividends, so it's not necessarily one thing or another. I think, you know, again, having a plan, working a plan, having a diversified portfolio, but it's a great question talking about whether master limited partnerships will face a headwind, and they will, you know, overall. I want to talk real quick about some of the changes that are actually having throughout this week and some of the things were going on. We really got a busy post-Thanksgiving week ahead as markets really digest this first big weekend of holiday shopping. Events here and abroad will be really top of mind. So early in the week, we have this the economic forecast for 2017. You have European Central Bank President Draghi will draw most of his attention in the midweek. You have the outcome of this OPEC meeting that's going on right now. I want to bring everybody make everybody aware of that. And then you had the Fed Beige's book that comes out, and that's likely to take center stage overall in the middle of the week. Then later in the week, you have the November ISM, you have vehicle sales, you have November jobs report will be in the focus as well. And then Sunday, December 4th, Italy will hold its referendum on constitutional reform, and that outcome of that vote is likely to have implications well into 2017. So want to be able to make sure you understand those things, and you understand that that's all coming about. All right. So with that being said, that's really the follow-up on the market as to what's going on in the past and what's going on in the future. The show's Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. It's a wealth management firm that's local here in Valparaiso, Indiana, but then also throughout the nation. We have a number of clients in a number of states throughout the nation. So we service some great people and really enjoy what we do for a living. And it's just fantastic to be in this business. We definitely have a passion for it, and we really enjoy being able to talk to markets and being able to help people with their investments and their wealth. One of the things that we wanted to be able to talk about today is about holiday shopping preview, and sort of mentioned the holiday sales outlook. This is the, you know, Black Friday was Friday. I was out checking things out in the local mall here. I was taking both now 16-year-old daughters out and about and seeing and observing. It was I did a little bit of shopping, but it wasn't necessarily all about that. For me, it was more about just seeing how many people were out and then also how many bags they were all carrying, and there were a number. It was unbelievable. I didn't really see a lot of the sales that you always see as much as everybody produces or the media produces, but I was able to spend a couple hours at least investigating some of the stores that that are having the biggest sales versus the stores that don't seem like they're really offering that much. Maybe they don't feel as though they need to, so that's probably a good thing, and that'll help their earnings overall. So you always want to be aware of these things. In any investment or any company you're looking at, into, you want to be watching and being aware of what goes on out there, and just sort of seeing, taking your own sort of your own poll and figuring out what consumers are doing. I mean, if you walk into your favorite store on Black Friday and it's empty, you might want to reconsider an investment in that favorite store as a stock. So, look. This is an extremely important time of the year for the U.S. economy. Consumer spending represents about 2/3 of the U.S. economy, and roughly 30% of retail sales occur during the holiday season. And really just wanted to discuss the prospects for holiday shopping and where we can expect some solid holiday cheer. So holiday sales outlook overall, the National Retail Federation, or the NRF, is a trade organization for retailers that tallies up the holiday shopping totals each year, and it forecasts a 3.6% increase in holiday shopping this year. That excludes restaurants, autos, and gasoline. And that compares with a 3.2% growth in the holiday sales in 2015 versus 2014. And this is included in these figures are online sales, expected to increase about 7 to 10% year over year to roughly 9% of total retail sales. Many people think that retail sales, online sales have really taken over. They still only amount to only about 9% of the overall total retail sales. So you want to be, it's just something to think about. But we see several reasons to expect consumers to really kind of potentially open up their markets, their wallets this holiday season, and see if that 3.6 increase does is hit. So one of the reasons that, and this is why we started this show and why we do what we do here on this show, is, look, consumer finances are in pretty good shape. One of our favorite indicators is consumer spending power is the financial obligations ratio. And, you know, this ratio measures consumer obligations such as mortgage, property tax payments, rents, consumer debt, car lease payments relative to the ability to afford those obligations. It's measured by disposable income, and that income remaining, that's income that's remaining after financial obligations are met. And it really, this measure is near its lowest levels in several decades and suggests consumers now have the ability to spend. Now, whether they have the confidence to spend or not is another conversation. But as far as the financial obligations ratio, it is near multi-decade lows. So something to think about when you're looking at spending, and this economy is run by consumer spending. So something to definitely think about as far as gains in the markets and also those investments you make. Another thing that's going to be interesting to see is job gains. Job gains have really been steady. Although the pace of gains is slowed, the U.S. economy continues to add nearly 200,000 jobs per month and has produced job gains for a record 23 straight months as of October 2016. And these filings for jobless claims are at their lowest levels since 1970s. Wages based on average hourly earnings are growing nicely at a rising 2.8% year over year in October 2016, and they're up to 2.7% in September. And though those have been the strongest since June of 2009, consumers are more confident, and you might have they have some concerns about the future for a doubt, but consumer sentiment is measured by the University of Michigan Sentiment Index. Shows consumers are relatively confident about the economy and their financial health. That gap really between expectations and current conditions likely reflects this the election uncertainty that kind of came about. You know, the latest reading was taken before the election results were known, and you know, may close the policy path out of Washington as it becomes more clear. Favorable prospects for a tax cut for individuals in 2017 may help that sentiment as well. So that's another reason. So you look at job gains, they're steady. You look at consumer confidence is a little higher. And then prices at the pump are still really low. Consumers are spending as small a percentage of their income on energy, only about 3%, as they have since the late 1990s. This is based on the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis data. And although oil and natural gas prices have risen over the past year, they remain low. And we expect many of these increases in the near term, barring any sort of big surprise from OPEC this week at the end of this, you know, at the end of this month, to kind of be gradual. So those three things really have a massive help to to what the economy looks like, and also where we see growth. Another thing is an indicator as far as holiday sales is back to school indicator. In recent decades, back to school shopping has been a really good leading indicator for holiday shopping. And historically, when sales during this important part of the calendar in this August and September comes about are good, sales for the holidays are almost invariably solid as well. So the further to the right a data point is, I guess, on a horizontal chart or an axis, you kind of see these things kind of follow each other. So this year, so what happened this year? I mean, you look at retail sales are better if back-to-school sales are better. Well, retail sales during the back-to-school shopping season in August and September rose 2.4% year-over-year compared with last year's gain of only 1.5%. That's suggesting holiday sales will be higher, and the relationship between these two data points really suggests that there's going to be about a 3% increase. So that's really interesting to see that, you know, with back to school positive numbers also comes good consumer confidence and good retail sales numbers. So another thing that you need to be consider is the stock market gains may offer some sort of help. I mean, the stock market has historically been a pretty good indicator of health of the holiday shopping season. And look at annual gains in retail sales compared with annual gains in stock prices. And since 1990, when the S&P is up year to date, through October 30th, the holiday sales gain is usually 5%. And when the S&P is down year-to-date through November 30th, the average holiday sales gain is only 1.4%. So with the S&P up more than 6.7% year-to-date, you would have to assume that that retail sales would be really solid coming up. So a couple of different things I want to be able to throw out there that might be implications or a hiccup to the retail sales is, you know, we expect a good holiday shopping season without a doubt. We see a more mixed outlook for retailers in the consumer discretionary and consumer staples area. But many traditional retailers are going to have to continue to struggle with this disruption of the boom in e-commerce, which has contributed to more widespread discounting, resulting in this pressure on the profit margins. You're really going to have to think about it. So demographics are another headwind for another for traditional retailers, as many millennials are opting for experiences over things, causing a shift in spending. So you're seeing technology products such as smartphones, tablets, gaming consoles have gained wallet share over goods sold at traditional retailers, and that really is going to put a crimp into to many big box type places. Now, recently, just last week, you saw a report was talking about how Walmart is attacking Amazon in their sales practices and what they're trying to do and get more of a share in regards to the retail side. So it's just going to be interesting to see how some of these companies end up fighting it out. But these headwinds have really shown up in a slower earnings growth for consumer discretionary, and really you have to support the preference of technology and industrials over that consumer sectors for growth potential when you start thinking about where to put your money. But we do expect the consumer to make a good showing in the holiday sales, and really the shortfall, if there is any shortfall, it might be small enough so as not to really spook the markets. That, you know, we would be just to be surprised if holiday shopping didn't follow through with what we're saying today. So consumers are in pretty good shape. I mean, you really suggest that the holiday shopping market could potentially be a fairly good one. Low financial obligations, you know, steady job and wage gains, high consumer sentiment, increases in a solid stock market performance in 2016 all suggest that the forecast for holiday sales growth of 3.6% compared with 2015 is doable. So it is possible. You've definitely seen an opportunity here. You know, we don't necessarily expect these sales gains to translate into outperformance in the consumer sectors, but suggest that they may be good enough not to spook the markets for sure, which is what we really care about. Always looking for something that might throw things off here with your investments and in the markets. We talk about the market a lot on this show. I was spent 14 years in the pits in Chicago, the Chicago Board of Options Exchange, yelling and screaming with those funny looking coats and the funny looking ties, trading derivatives on equities. That's where I learned the markets, following every tick, every single minute. Now on the retail side, certainly do a lot less of that as far as following every single movement, but without a doubt, it is a daily investigation and helping clients out and people with their wealth, making sure that they're understanding what's going on out there and where the opportunities lie. You know, love following the market. We talk a lot about the market on this show. I hope you're able to get some great investment knowledge on this show. Because that's why we started it. We really started this Money Matters with Greg show, and now the podcast, and as well as the web page that's coming. We have a new web page that's coming out. I'm hoping to have it launched by the beginning of the year. That will be a fantastic resource for everyone, and a free resource for everyone to jump on and to learn some great things as we promote this show and promote financial literacy across the board for everyone involved. So one of the things we also talk about here is what's going on out there as far as perspectives go and what trends are happening and what has happened. This whole show today has been about what is in the past and then also what's the future here in 2017, how the election has affected the markets and where things have moved, and really to see kind of what to do next as far as moving forward. In regards to the bond market, I wanted to talk a little bit about what has changed from a year ago from today. Much of what's going on in the bond market today was exactly what was going on in the bond market last year. And although November 2016 is really shaping up to look a lot like November 2015, it doesn't necessarily feel that way. So during 2016, investors kind of became more accustomed of the rates falling and rising. This really wasn't the expectations of the markets as they entered the 2015 season. You know, looking back is sort of a sense of a deja vu in some respects, but following the discussions throughout the year, the markets have been fixated on the possibility of a Federal Reserve rate hike. And at the Federal Open Market Committee, the FOMC meeting, that's in December 15, you know, an intermediate and long-term treasuries were trading in very similar range compared with today. And in fact, the closing yield on the 10-year on November 14, 2015, was the same as it was on November 14, 2016, which is amazing considering all the movement we've had in treasury yields throughout the year and where we've gone. But the 30-year yield is also near 2015 levels, closing at 3.03 on November 18th, compared with 3.04 on November 2015. So you're starting to look at a very similar situation, and yet you're 365 days in change as far as movement goes. And so how did we get here? Well, in 2015, market participants were broadly expecting higher rates in 2016. If you remember, Janet Yellen mentioned that she was going to raise rates based on data four times in 2016. They haven't done it yet. So basically, she gave the market instruction and then rescinded all that information, which the market's been fighting with this entire year. We don't believe the path of rates in 2017 is likely to look like 2016. You're looking at a lot of reasons why those moves, and we mentioned a lot of those earlier in the show. But the fall in equities in early 2016 led investors towards a relatively, you know, the safety of the Treasury bonds. And if you remember, the market fell apart after the raise. We dropped 14% in the S&P from December to February. And, you know, the fall in the equity markets in early 2016 really led a lot of those people to run to treasuries and to go and to drop yields down. Equity markets, they soon recovered, but only because of the stabilization in oil prices. There was less volatility in China. The Fed lowering their forecast in 2016 rate hikes from 4 to 2 in mid-March, where they changed their mind in 3 months. Additionally, the Bank of Japan announced January 2016 that it was moving to a negative interest rate policy. They also, the ECB, the European Central Bank, announced an expansion of quantitative easing program for a couple months later in March 2016. Liquidity from global central banks intended. So, I mean, you've seen a number of different things here happen in 2016 to be able to show that why are we here now at a 2.32 10-year rate when really we were just there last year. So will we repeat the cycle coming up? Well, the major difference between this year and last are the expectations of future growth. Economic growth and inflation expectations have moved higher following the election for sure. And expectations on increased fiscal spending and business-friendly policies have really been a massive change in just the last few weeks. One of the easiest places to kind of see this change is in implied inflation expectations, as measured by the difference between the 10-year Treasury and the 10-year Treasury inflation projected securities, which is the TIPS. So those yields, the difference between those two, is something to really pay attention. So while only about 0.3% higher at this time last year, 0.23 of that change kind of came within the last mid-month of the year between October 2016 and November, mid-November 2016. And that really showed the markets are clearly giving President-elect Trump the benefit of the doubt when it comes to growth here. We'll see if anything follows through, but recent Fed comments indicate that it may be allow the economy to, what they said, quote-unquote, run hot in order to generate stronger inflation numbers That also may have helped things without a doubt. So the actual reported growth and inflation numbers today are also slightly better than what they were in 2015. The quarter-over-quarter change in gross domestic product for quarter three of 2016 is nearly a percent higher than reported than 2015. So a potential boost in fiscal spending and the pro-business policies may help U.S. yields move higher in 2017, which we agree that it will. So two last things, really, just talking about the bond market and where we're headed, is one final difference between the markets in 2016 and 2015 is the relative valuations of bond sectors. And the valuations of some bond sectors are measured by how far their yield is from the comparable treasury. And this concept is known as a spread. And spreads have really been broadly compressed since last year, meaning many areas of the broad the bond market are more expensive relative to treasuries than they were a year ago. So these moves are really somewhat justified in the improvement of economic growth. So you really want to be thinking about these things as far as your investments and where things go. But, you know, unlike the path of 2016, we expect rates to raise have an upward bias in 2017. And they're still going to be measured. They're not going to shock anybody overall. So a boost in fiscal spending and pro-business policies may help these yields move higher in 2017. The path really of developed economies, foreign economies, and central bank moves that go along all with that. But many bond sectors are more expensive than they were a year ago. So this could really reflect improving economic prospects, stabilization of the price of oil, but also mean that if forecasts aren't met, there could be more downside due to spreads sort of widening. So I want to make sure that you are hedging or thinking about different offsetting principal losses. Bond holdings offer potential portfolio diversification benefits, and they really help managers manage any volatility that lies ahead and helps you manage those things as well. But with an interest rate rising environment, you really want to be careful out there with your bond holdings and with your overall portfolios. We preach diversified portfolio management on this show as well in the wealth management world. You should all have different asset classes throughout your portfolio. You should have a plan, and you should be following through on that plan going into 2017. I just want to make sure that everybody understands out there that it's going to be interesting in 2017, without a doubt. You're going to want to make sure you're paying attention and not getting clipped. So that's what this show is all about. It's trying to save you some money. We grow and we create money, but we also help and protect and preserve money as well, and making sure that you have as much money as possible in your pocketbook and in your wallet. So the show's Money Matters with Greg. It's WVLP 103.1 FM. We are really excited to be able to offer this show through another month here, now going on a little over 2 years. And it is November 2016. We're hoping that everybody has a fantastic holiday season going into December. Talking about our shows and going into the holidays, we wanted to talk about shopping and really sort of relate it to everyone as far as our Black Friday, and then today is Cyber Monday. And we're going to see how these things really pan out here for the future here of growth in this country, and also as far as the investment cycles that you have. With that being said, you can find us on Twitter at Feral Wealth. You can find us on the website at feralwealth.com, as well as WVLP.org. I want to thank Greg Kovach, our engineer, for coming in after a long holiday of eating turkey, and coming in today and knocking this out today. Again, the show's Money Matters with Greg, 103.1 FM, WVLP. Find us on iTunes when the show gets thrown up there, and looking forward to a great holiday season, and hope everybody's well. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Greg Farrell is the president, CEO of Farrell Wealth, and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. All individuals should get their proper advice investing and managing their personal finances. Money. Get back.